Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people. Because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Commuting to work again? Welcome back. Just breathe and remember, you got this. And the all-new Hyundai Kona is there to help. Class-leading interior space means you can stretch out. Intuitive tech like remote smart parking assist makes parking stress-free. And complimentary BlueLink Plus allows you to set the climate controls remotely. Learn more about the all-new Kona and your best commute ever at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, hey! Happy almost Friday! You can say it with me. Happy almost Friday! We are hours away from ushering in the start of the weekend. We consider it to be our job, our honored and esteemed privilege to usher in the weekend. And so 4 hours until we set you free. Fly, sports fans, fly. If you love something, you set it free. If it comes back to you, it's yours, was yours all along. If it doesn't, it was never yours in the first place or something like that. I am not the type of girl who needs to be writing greeting cards or trying to remember cliches, because that's also not my area of expertise. But I do know how to usher in a Friday. And so happy almost Friday to you. Man, these next 4 hours are going to fly because there's so much happening. Again, stop me if you've heard me say that before. It's nutso. Sports never stop. Here we are in early November. You guys, I had this revelation earlier. 3 weeks to Thanksgiving. Exactly. 3 weeks to Thanksgiving. David Shepherd just reacted to my revelation. 3 weeks to Thanksgiving. This time in 3 weeks, many of us will be 5 to 10 pounds heavier. All right. I'm okay with that. I cannot wait for Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. It's my favorite meal of the year. This year, I'll be celebrating Thanksgiving at the beach for the first time ever. Never done that before. Excited for what's to come in 3 weeks. Not that I'm mailing it in, because I'm not. But can you believe it's only 3 weeks from now? And we are into week 9 of the NFL season. Week 9. Week 10 of the college football season. Also, when we're talking about other sports, did you see there was a score in hockey tonight? 10-1. 10-1. And it was actually 10-0 before it was 10-1. Oh my gosh. Anyway, it's a smorgasbord. It's a buffet, and not the kind you would get at your local Golden Corral. No, this is a fancy schmancy buffet, and there's a lot. There's something for everyone, and so we're going to pack as much as we possibly can in. It's maybe practice for Thanksgiving when we pack as much as we possibly can into those few hours where it's okay. It's accepted to be thankful for all the food that we have in front of us. Or all the football, or all the family and friends, all the fun, whatever it is. I'll try not to think about Thanksgiving too much while we're here these next 4 hours. Just week 9 is something to be thankful for if you're a football fan. My goodness, we talked about this briefly on our last show. We've got some enticing matchups. This week 9 features the first ever NFL game in Frankfurt, Germany. Normally, I wouldn't care that much about the international games other than they start earlier on Sunday. For those of you listening on the West Coast right now, the game between the Dolphins and the Chiefs, very high profile game. The two best records in the AFC. And there are two others, right? All four division leaders have the best records in the AFC at 6-2. And these are a couple of them. The Dolphins and the Chiefs on the road in Frankfurt. The Chiefs have looked maudling, middling, mediocre the last couple weeks. The Dolphins, they're feeling themselves. Oh, and Tyreek Hill, he's got a message for his old team. You'll hear that coming up. But Dolphins and Chiefs, is that the after hours game of the week? Or is it two other first place teams? I know it sounds weird when I say it, but yes, the Seahawks are a first place team. Seahawks and Ravens, that's got to be another after hours game of the week option. Or the Cowboys and the Eagles, top two teams in the NFC East, two teams that went to the playoffs, two bitter rivals. Or maybe it's the Bills and the Bengals on Sunday Night Football. You know what it's not? The Chargers and the Jets on Monday Night Football. Let's hope we have the Monday Night Mannings to keep us company during that game. It all started in Pittsburgh just a couple hours ago, and so we're going to get to Steelers and Titans and all the implications thereof. It was a pretty entertaining game. Not high scoring, but I can't imagine that you expected it to be high scoring, not with these two teams and not on a short work week. I don't know how this happened, but in my fantasy football league, because the Steelers were on a bye a couple weeks ago, I had dropped them as my defense. I had to add a different defense. Somehow they were still available. A couple hours before tonight's game, I went to drop the Commanders defense because why in the world would you keep the Commanders now that they've traded away two of their best players in Chase Young and Montez Sweat? But I digress. I had to drop the Commanders defense. And lo and behold, the Steelers were still available. Nice. Every now and then, a blind squirrel finds a fantasy nut. So I did, in fact, put the Steelers back in my lineup as the defense. I also had Derrick Henry. I haven't yet checked the numbers, but it makes me nervous. Does it make you guys nervous when you have two players or two entities in your fantasy lineup from the Thursday night game? Yeah, not optimal. But I didn't want to remove either one of them from the lineup. So it's a pretty entertaining game. It wasn't putrid. It wasn't a tough watch. I thought it was interesting. Pair of young quarterbacks, Will Levis, the rookie getting his second career start. He may start from now on. I don't know that Ryan Tannehill will ever be invited back to the starting lineup. He's in the final year of his contract, and Will Levis has shown some real flash, and the offense has opened up more. Steelers fans were booing in the middle of this game. They were not Pat Freiermuthing because he's injured, but they were booing. There were some major stops and starts, some ugly moments. And a lot of people on social, now this is just social, so it's a small cross-section of football fans, but a lot of people on social, especially those in my business, they were looking at the two quarterbacks in comparison, and they were commenting about how much better Will Levis looked than Kenny Pickett. And there were times that was absolutely the case. Pickett missed a bunch of throws. He missed high a lot of the time. And yet, a win is a win is a win is a win. And if you hang around long enough and you're within striking distance, we know this happens all the time in the NFL. When you've got a defense that's good enough to keep you close, good enough to keep you within spitting distance. I like that better than striking distance. Why are we striking anyone? Although, why are we spitting ever? But it wasn't that long ago, just as a side note, that I was walking through our newsroom before the show. And a male colleague hocked a loogie right in front of me into a trash can. And it was gross. And he looked up to see me walking by. I was hoping to just get by without being noticed because I didn't want to have a conversation about him spitting into a trash can. But he did look up and he noticed. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were right there. Yeah, it was gross. So no one really needs to talk about spitting either. Spitting or striking, touching. We're not supposed to be touching people either. That's against HR policies. We really can't do any of these things. But on a football field, it all makes sense. In sports, it all makes sense. You got a defense that can keep you close. It's just boring to say it that way. Got a defense that can keep you close, which the Steelers can do, and certainly talented pieces. And Kenny Pickett adds to his resume of games in which he has led the Steelers to a come-from-behind win, a go-ahead score in the fourth quarter. We just saw it a couple weeks ago against the Rams. And I was so disappointed because we did not see a repeat of that in their next game. I was expecting that the Steelers would pick up where they had left off after the come-from-behind victory against the Rams, except against the Jaguars, what do they have, 7 yards in the first quarter? It was so bad against the Jaguars, and then he got hurt. But even on a short work week, with a rib injury, Kenny Pickett was game.
First and goal at the 10. Pickett stays in the gun. Four-man rush. Hands it off. Cuts it back. And into the end zone. Comes Najee Harris for a 10-yard rushing touchdown. His second of the season.
Normally you get a little thunder, then you get the lightning. Now you got the lightning first, and in comes the thunder. My goodness.
On Steelers radio, that's how you start. That's how you get the crowd fired up and into it. And they definitely were. Now, at that point, they were happy because Najee Harris goes 10 yards into the end zone on a 10-play drive. But it wasn't long until we heard the booing as well. It was a dogfight. Like I say, wasn't pretty. It was much more of that tough, hard-nosed, blue-collar football. But I actually like that. As long as it's close, I'm okay. As long as we don't have a blowout and it's not unwatchable like Jets and Giants.
Levis motions, Simmons give, Henry on the left side, Henry diving forward, stretches the ball, touchdown Titans! Derrick Henry was stopped, but he had the presence of mind to lean that football, to break the plane, and to give the Titans the lead in Pittsburgh.
Mike Keith on Titans radio capped a 6.5-minute drive. So even with Will Levis, even with the energy that he brings and the various options that he brings, they still can play the ball control game. And Derrick Henry is a big reason why. So the Titans take the lead there in the second quarter. And we had a couple field goals that kind of kept it interesting. So we weren't punting every single drive, every single possession. And actually, if you were keeping score at home, following that Derrick Henry touchdown, there were 5 drives around halftime. 4 of them were field goals. So yeah, points on the board, just not into the end zone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us as we talk about the start of Week 9 in the NFL. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. The game is actually re-airing right now. It's in the third quarter, and they're tied at 13 on NFL Network in case you wanted to see it again. Or you could just listen to us. The scoring drives themselves tended to slow down a bit. There certainly were a ton of penalties, so a couple of drives that were extended by flags thrown against the defense. But remember a couple of weeks ago when Deontay Johnson returned to the lineup, and the question was posed to Kenny Pickett multiple times, what does this do for your offense? How does this help your offense? And he talked about options, and he talked about opening up the offense, and he talked about having another threat, a deep threat, a veteran that could give them another look against defenses.
Pickett in the shotgun, slot to his wide side right, gets the snap, he's back, throws that pass down the right sideline, the pass is pulled in! That is Deontay Johnson getting behind a defender inside the 30, inside the 25, to the 23-yard line of the Titans. He beat former Steeler Terrell Edmunds on that play. Scoreboard asking the fans for quiet so the Steelers can operate this goal line offense efficiently. After the defensive hold is called on the Titans, first and goal at the 3. Pickett in the shotgun, gets the snap, looks right. Deontay Johnson wide open, touchdown Pittsburgh. The Steelers march it 92 yards to take the lead.
That's Deontay Johnson's first touchdown in what, a couple seasons?
Yes.
20 games. 20 games, are you kidding me? Way to go, Deontay. You saved the best for when the Steelers needed it most.
That would explain the ginormous grin that spanned the entire width of Deontay's face after that touchdown. So, yeah, he caught the deep pass. He hauls in the deep pass from Kenny Pickett, 32 yards on a 3rd and 6. And then he's the one who is able to pull in the 3-yard touchdown. And, yeah, great play call by Matt Canada. Good execution by the team because he was wide open. And the Steelers go ahead with about 4 minutes left in the game. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I would say, though, the confidence, the moxie, the boldness, the confidence to win, not just confidence to go out there and compete. But if we're going to talk about Kenny Pickett, we're going to talk about the offense. Well, we have to go back to the defense for keeping it close and then ultimately protecting this lead against the Titans, because the last two Tennessee drives featured a failed fourth down and another foiled opportunity.
Wide side to his left. Slot that way on 3rd and 5 at the 19 with 11 seconds to go. Here's the snap, 4-man rush. He looks, he fires for the end. Intercepted! And that is Quan Alexander, his first of the season, and this game is over.
How about that? Quan Alexander dropping deep in the middle of the field, and he launches himself upwards and stretches and catches that rock as it's coming in. What a great grab by Quan Alexander. You got to love that. That's the way to finish it. It's a drop the mic moment. Take that pigskin, take it home, put it on your mantle, because by golly, you deserve it, Quan. Great job.
Obviously, it could have been cleaner. First and foremost, from a penalty perspective, part of being a tough team to beat first is not kicking your own butt, man, and we kind of been doing that some, and we got to own that. And so we will. We'll review it. We'll learn from it. We'll look at it. We'll bring some officials into our practice setting in an effort to be cleaner, because that was catastrophic, really, in a lot of instances to our efforts tonight.
We kick ourselves in our own butt. I feel like I do that sometimes, kick myself in my own butt. And he does refer to the penalties, 10 penalty flags for 80 yards. And so they maybe made this a little harder than it needed to be. However, they were effective at slowing down Derrick Henry. He had 75 yards as well as a touchdown. They had Kenny Pickett playing on a short work week with the rib injury, and yet he was a gamer. The stats, well, they don't reflect a game that you want to hold up on a highlight reel. But a win is a win is a win is a win. And on a Thursday night in Pittsburgh, when the AFC North is a gauntlet, it's a buzzsaw, this is exactly what the Steelers needed. And Cam Hayward returned as well, which is also cool. So right now in the AFC North, the Ravens are 6-2. They'll be hosting the Seahawks this weekend. The Steelers are 5-3. Browns and Bengals, 4-3. It's tight. Could you imagine if every team in this division finishes above 500? There are benefits to playing each other multiple times per year. You're battle-tested. You're obviously going up against some of the best in the conference, and so you're more prepared. But also, there's attrition with these games as well. So the North is a buzzsaw. It doesn't sound as good as the NFC Beast, which is what I called the East Division last year. The AFC Worth? Nah. I'm going to have to come up with a new nickname for the NFC North. The Nasty North? Except that could be taken the wrong way. Steelers and Titans start us off week 9 in the NFL. Week 9, oh my goodness, in the NFL. So find me on Twitter, ALawRadio. Also on our Facebook page, we'll have the After Hours Game of the Week poll up before long. Top of the hour, our friend Hondo Carpenter will join us from Sin City in Las Vegas. What's it been like since Josh McDaniels was fired? Devontae Adams speaking out on Thursday. Aiden O'Connell, he will start this weekend. He was speaking out as well. How much has it changed since the moves were made by Mark Davis? Hondo, I'm sure, will have some insight. We're just getting started. Happy Almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Get the best workout with the best-kept secret in fitness. Hydro, the state-of-the-art at-home rower. Hydro engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 4,000 classes that are shot all over the world and are taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial with free standard shipping, go to Hydro.com and use code FIT500 to save up to $500. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT500.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Will Levis, with 11 seconds remaining, facing a four-man rush, takes the snap, looks, fires toward the end zone, it's intercepted. Intercepted in the end zone. And picking it off for the Steelers is Quan Alexander.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Steelers defense seals the deal after the offense is able to take the lead with a fourth quarter touchdown drive that goes 92 yards and lasts more than 5 minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bill Hillgrove is the voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Keith, play-by-play on the Tennessee Titans radio network. Yeah, so the defense for the Steelers, well, it certainly is full of marquee stars. Gets Cam Hayward back. Alex Highsmith, we know about him. Obviously, TJ Watt, at one point, his helmet gets ripped off by a Titan, and he still gets the sack. And so lots of pressure on Will Levis, though I thought Levis performed well. And he had not thrown an interception in his two starts until the very last drive there with Tennessee, where the Pittsburgh Steelers are able then to run out the clock. But he goes 22 of 39 for 262 yards in the pick. Sacked four times, though, and hit another 10 times with plenty of pressure by that Steelers defense. And also successful for the D, not allowing Derrick Henry to run wild.
Cam Hayward was back, you know, and Cam's presence is significant, guys, like particularly in terms of defending the run. You better put four hands on that guy or you're not going to have a day.
Felt good. A lot of reps, but just glad to be out there.
More reps than what you had planned?
I don't know how I should answer that, but I'll take all the reps I can get.
Welcome back to Cam Hayward, the longtime Steelers defensive lineman, the captain, 34 years old. And not only is he trying to work his way back in, but that voice in the locker room matters so much. how many times we had talked about the Steelers, or even when we talked to Missy Matthews, a Steelers sideline reporter, she had mentioned that part of what they're missing is Cam Hayward. And so glad to see him on the field again and hear that humor. Kenny Pickett does end up playing, and he didn't appear to be limited in his motion. Now, could it have affected his throwing? Maybe. Well, not real accurate. 19 of 30, 160 yards, and the touchdown pass to Deontay Johnson, but he battled, and he was still out there in the end for those Steelers.
Nothing that he does from an intangible perspective or a toughness perspective surprises me. I think that we're all really comfortable about those qualities in him and, you know, his desire to rise up big for us in moments and be significant down the stretch. Can't say enough about it.
Shout out to our trainers, Gabe leading the way, helping me get ready to go, and Sonia and Dino. Short week, did a great job of helping me get ready, and I felt good.
Is it possible that the Titans gave the Steelers a little extra motivation? Does this come from social media? It's just in the locker room? All right, so Landon Roberts was telling the story that he heard about the way the Titans were disrespecting Pittsburgh before the game.
Man, I heard that they went stood on the logo. Yes. I don't know how true it is, but that really got to me. Because one thing you don't do is disrespect us, you know? So, you know, I took every play personal, you know? And this team, man, we got something special. And I'm not trying to take anything from the win.
Buzz up!
Stuff, but we got something special. And, you know, it was a big win tonight because we played a complete 60-minute game. And, you know, all we could do is build off it.
Clearly in the locker room. And so at the end, you kind of have Roberts drowned out a little bit. But you can tell the guys are fired up. And he says he took every play personally. My favorite part is that he doesn't know if it's true, but he still took it personally. I don't actually know if it happened. I didn't see it myself. And I'm not sure if the reports are true, but whatever. I still took it personally. That cracks me up. As for the Titans, they fall to 3-5 now and 0-4 on the road. And Mike Vrabel's facial expressions, the body language during this game, it told you the entire story.
Just troubling to lose, Paul, you know what I mean? Whether you're at home or on the road or in London, you know, you lose. You put a lot into it, played hard. Yeah, I don't think we played well enough in really any phase to take control of the game when we had an opportunity. Felt like we had some momentum and, you know, couldn't capitalize on it.
I don't know what happens with the Titans following this season. It certainly does seem like Will Levis could be the QB of the future. I don't know why you would put Ryan Tannehill back out there. He's at the end of his contract. It gets very stagnant and stale with Tannehill now when he's under center. Derrick Henry performs better with Levis. I mean, there's just the threat of both the pass and the run. And he has shown some intelligence, some cognizance of what's happening around him, even as a very young quarterback. So a lot of people really high on what they've seen from him so far. In terms of the coaching staff, in terms of personnel, it's hard to imagine that they move forward in Nashville and keep everything the same. Not if they continue going down this road. Because at the end of last season, they coughed up the AFC South title, could not win a game to save their lives, ended up losing to Jacksonville in the last game of the season, and that made the Jaguars the division winners. It's just been backward progress, not forward motion, over the last year-ish or so. And not real great at all last season. But it's obvious that when you don't have a quarterback who has the threat of a deep ball or just the threat of being able to deliver in the passing game, well, then it's easier to stack the box and to prevent Derrick Henry from finding any real traction. And the Steelers definitely were focused on slowing him down. He's the best offensive player they've got. But Will Levis has shown that he is going to find DeAndre Hopkins, look for DeAndre Hopkins. I didn't have a real productive game. Not eye-popping numbers for Hopkins in this game. It was a Thursday night after all. Credit the Steelers defense. But the fact that they have to respect both the pass and the run, That's different for Tennessee. Maybe it changes as they move forward. Though Jaguars are 6-2 now, and as I say, the Titans are 3-5. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Marco Belletti is here in studio, and I'm completely changing the subject. Did you see the videos that were making the rounds on social of the opossum that was being dragged off the field
at a
college football
TCU.
Game?
Yeah,
TCU, Texas Tech.
Yes, it did.
I normally am not big into GIFs and memes and little videos like that, but this was the funniest thing. That possum was angry. He was baring his teeth. And also, it doesn't, I don't know. Look at the opossum.
He was, clinging to try to stay on the field.
Right,
I'm not exactly sure why.
He was trying to dig his claws into the field.
Which is turf, right? It's hard to tell from here, but it looks like turf.
Have you ever seen an opossum like that, though? I thought they were, have hair and were gray and ugly and...
I'm not the expert on that, but...
Maybe it's not an opossum?
Could it also be sick, too, though?
Sick?
I mean... Yeah, when animals get rabies or anything like that, like they become different.
Oh.
They can get angry and, froth at the mouth and all that kind of stuff. I would assume that's similar to, that's kind of like when you see nocturnal animals during the day, not good. That usually means they're sick.
He's hissing.
Yeah, I don't know enough about them, though. I'll be fair.
Oh, well, how do you get out there?
I don't know. I mean, we see this all the time. Like, cats on the field. How the hell did a cat get in there? I don't know. I have no idea. I would imagine you're somewhere near, outside where it got through the tunnels and it was able to figure out a way. I don't know how they did that, but I would imagine, a door here or there, just like anything else. Any other rodent that gets into something that it's not supposed to be into is the only thing I can think of.
I mean, the gifts... The memes, the captions, the humor on social media. I feel bad for the animal, though, because he was obviously terrified and angry.
Angry, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's an animal. Like, I don't think it realizes there's a football game going on. It's just kind of like, what the hell are you doing? I'm trying to go this way. What's your problem, man?
And then they're dragging him off the field. Jay, if you want to retweet, so there's a video from the account of Taylor Carr, K-A-R-R-H, Taylor Carr, and it's relatively benign. It just shows the video of the possum running on the field and then getting dragged off the field. And he would like to see the opossum play. There's all kinds of funny comments about how the opossum had more rushing yards than the two teams put together and all that kind of stuff. That honestly was as exciting for me as the Titans-Steelers game in stretches.
Oh.
I think it got more play on social than did Steelers-Titans in stretches.
Yeah, well, that I believe. Yeah. This is the... The Steelers just play the ugliest games,
they
man.
They do.
They're fun.
They don't hide it.
No, but I'm saying that they're fun because you know what it is. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be defensive. It's going to be flags. It's going to be a mess. And then it's going to be tight down at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They don't deviate from the script week to week. It's quite impressive that they can play the same game 17 times. But they do that. So as much as it is kind of like, it's rough, I don't know. I like it because it's just kind of, I don't know. It's like a... Go back to animals. When you look at an animal and you're like, that's so cute because it's so ugly. That's pretty much what the Steelers are. They're cute because they're so ugly.
Ugly like the opossum?
Yeah. When you look at it, you go, look how cute it is because it's just so ugly.
Oh, yeah. The opossums are definitely ugly.
So that's kind of, there you go. It's fitting for the Steelers night. They're good. They're fun to watch because it's ugly as hell.
You are what your record says you are.
Right. And anybody counting them out? No. But anybody really believing in them? No, they're just kind of...
If you have a defense like that and you keep it close by making it ugly, if you can get your opponent to play ugly, you always have a chance to win.
And they do every week. And that's why, look, when you step back, does anyone... I know we're halfway through the season. Anyone truly believe, the Steelers are a Super Bowl threat? The answer is no. But would anybody look at it and go... Would you be surprised by the Steelers winning a playoff game? You're like, no, of course not.
Absolutely
no, they could be.
Not.
So they're just such a weird club because you don't really believe right now in Kenny Pickett and the offense putting up points when they need
speak
to.
Speak for yourself.
However, whenever it seems like there's a play that needs to be made in the fourth quarter, they make it.
Aren't all five of their games rallies from, I think all five of their wins have been rallies from behind.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And all eight of their games have come down to the wire. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I'd have to look at the actual, it feels like they play the same game week in and week out. It really, score, it's tight.
Consistency.
It's always between a 3 and 4 point game. There's going to be one play that differentiates, and there's going to be a play at the end where either they make it or they stop it. Like, that's just, it's every week. It's the same thing over and over, and it feels like it's been going on for, what, 25 years? Like, it just doesn't deviate. I don't know how they do it, but it doesn't deviate.
Well, when they had Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, they were a team that put up a ton
they
of
scored
points
more,
and
their
numbers.
Defense was worse, but the game was the same.
Yeah.
But instead of being 20-16, it was 38-35. The game was the same.
Well, it had a little more entertainment value in terms of offense, is what I'm saying.
Okay, and then the defenses couldn't stop anybody. When the defenses stop everybody, the offense can't score. Like, it's just, it's funny. They play the same game, and they force you to play the same game. If their defense is really playing well, you can't score on them, and it winds up being a low-scoring game. If their defense stinks and they put up points left and right, you're going to put up points left and right, but you can't stop them.
But don't forget the stat that drives Steelers fans crazy. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season since he's been there. All right, coming up soon. Well, first of all, check out our show Twitter so you can see the video of the opossum. He needs a name, really. But also on our show Twitter, the After Hours Game of the Week poll. And this is going to be a very lively and spirited vote because I have no idea how you guys are going to choose or how I'm going to choose. Our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up top of the hour, we will get the thoughts of Hondo Carpenter, what's happened in Las Vegas since Josh McDaniels was fired, and straight ahead, James Harden. I never, ever, ever need to hear him again, and yet he's got stuff he needs to say.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Chose to handle things certain ways that I wouldn't have. He might feel the same on us, that we should have moved quicker, whatever. Look, he's a great player. He's going to do great things for the Clippers. I think this will just be a blip and something something that we won't remember when we're at James's Hall of Fame induction someday.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Daryl Morey taking the high road with James Harden. Now a member of the Clippers. Suppose it's no longer Daryl's problem. Though the reports are that James will never speak to his former boss, former general manager ever again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hondo Carpenter from Las Vegas coming up at the top of the hour. You'll hear how things have changed and how they might change even more moving forward after Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler were fired by Mark Davis and the Raiders. We've got your poll up, the After Hours Game of the Week, and no, the Raiders game is not part of it. Instead, we've got four really high-profile matchups. Dolphins, Chiefs, Seahawks, Ravens, those are battles among first-place teams. Cowboys-Eagles is a battle of the top two teams in the NFC East, both playoff teams, bitter rivals. Bills and Bengals in the Josh Allen and Joe Burrow arrows. Yep, I just transposed my syllables, my sounds, in the Josh Allen, Joe Burrow's eras. Oh, the Swifties would be so upset with me. The eras, they've established a mini rivalry too, but who wouldn't sign up to see those guys on the same field? Not at the same time exactly, but at least in the same building. So that's one heck of a poll. Check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page, and we'll get back to some football again at the top of the hour, but we'll look ahead to week 9. We've got some QB news and other nuggets to throw out there, but the big news from basketball, not so much Wemby, although he was brilliant on this night, a weird rematch, or can't even really call it that, but just a home and home between the Spurs and the Suns. San Antonio in Phoenix on this Thursday night, and Victor Wembanyama, the overall number one pick, 19 years old, takes 26 shots, 15 of 26 from the floor. That is far more than anybody else took in this game, including Kevin Durant, including Devin Booker. 15 of 26. He hits a handful of triples, 5 of 6 from the charity stripe. Goes for 38 points, by far a career high in what, game number 5, I think? And 10 rebounds, along with 2 assists, 2 blocks, a steal, only a couple of turnovers, though he's handling the game or the handling the ball a bunch. That's not actually your top story from the NBA. We're going to sprinkle this in throughout the show because, well, it's comic relief in some cases. James Harden speaking to the media for the first time about being a member of the Clippers.
I was back at Artesia. I was just trying to make it out and change the directory of my family and make it to the NBA. And now being my 15th year is something special. So, and then being having an opportunity to be back here with literally, you know, my entire family is it's even more special. So I'm definitely excited.
So we had heard from our Clippers insider, Law Murray, who joined us in the wake of that trade on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, that one hallmark of this team and the core of this team is that these guys are all from Southern California. And James Harden mentions that he just wanted to be back home in LA, and now he's there with his entire family. Okay, so that's relatively tame. But why will things be different in Los Angeles than what we've seen in his previous brief stops like Brooklyn and Philadelphia?
If you're just talking about strictly basketball, then, you know, we have definitely have an opportunity. When you talk about other things that you can't control, then you can't control those things, you know what I mean? So hopefully none of those things happen and we can just focus on basketball and giving ourselves the best chance.
Except they don't just happen. You make them happen. They don't just happen. You're part of the reason why they happen. The trade demands, the barbs flying around, the lack of professionalism until you get your way. It's as though he's pointing to everyone else around him, signaling that they are the problem and he has nothing to do with it. These things don't just happen. You're the common denominator. That's why they happen. He definitely took aim at the Philadelphia 76ers.
Me leaving Brooklyn and thinking I'm going to retire as a Sixer, you know what I mean? And the front office had other plans. You know, they didn't want me. And it's that simple.
Philly didn't want me. Philly didn't want to give you a max deal, not the one that you thought you deserved. And so I guess if that's where you draw the line, we'll see what happens after this year, right? Because he's playing on this one-year option. What happens then? There's more to say. Maybe you've heard the quote out there from James Harden. I would rather you hear it from him. But the Sixers gave him what he wanted, right? You can believe that it was just about going home or that the Sixers didn't want him. But if you look at the arc of his career the past few years, pitching a fit, acting like a jerk until Daryl Morey traded him in Houston, goes to Brooklyn, didn't want to be there either after a year and a half, gets his way to be reunited with Daryl Morey back in Philadelphia, but then doesn't get what he wants, and so it's the same old song and dance. That's Philly not wanting him? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
This holiday season, give concert and comedy tickets to their favorite artists. Choose from thousands of the hottest upcoming shows, plus other great gifts for every fan on your list, like VIP packages, artist merch, gift cards, and more. You can also ask for concert and comedy tickets with a Live Nation wish list. Just sign in, add your favorite shows, and share with friends and family. Get what you really want this year and gift the unforgettable at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.